And I can't play piano.
And nobody hoots and hollers when I preach. So I guess I'll just go dig a hole and hide in it for a while. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That helps me. I've appreciated the music tonight, because all of the music tonight seems to be focusing what I want to preach and what I want to focus on. I do want to say this to you. I don't know if you live close to the campgrounds or not, but I just want to recommend to you the morning mission service and Bible study. They're like really, really good. And the Cyrils and Bruce have just been doing a marvelous job. I've been blessed. I've been fed. I'm learning. And so I just want to encourage you, if you live around here, come. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and I can just tell you, you'll be blessed and lifted up by that. Well, I don't know if you've been following the preaching, if you've been here each service, but I'm trying to work my way through some things here. And we started off Sunday night looking at the incredible sinfulness of sin. And friends, I can't draw a dark enough picture of what sin does to us and what we saw it do to us in our living, in our life, is something we don't want a part of our lives. And then we look at the end result of it, the awfulness of hell, and I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to go to that place. And the only way out is Jesus, in whom we presented last night the incredible love of God, that he would send Jesus Christ to come and be a provision for sins committed, sin of the heart, and ultimately deliver us from hell, and not just deliver us from hell, but give us a place in heaven. I don't know that it gets any more glorious than that. Tonight, I want to preach on a fresh vision of what our reaction ought to be to that incredible love of God that he would send Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I would like you to turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And when you found that, I'd like you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is impure. He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Let me go ahead and read verse 11. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with all of our heart, and we have already been blessed. Lisa's song, and especially that first part of it, couldn't have been any more perfect. And then the piano, and then John's song. And Lord, I've just been blessed and confirmed in my soul that I'm just on the right track for tonight. And my soul is lifted up, and I give you praise, and I give you glory and honor. Father, I pray that you would come into this service. I pray that you would take your word and bring it to people's hearts. We need your Holy Spirit desperately for that. So, Lord, as I share, I pray that you'll guide my every word, my every thought, my every expression. Lord, everything that comes out of my lips and out of my heart tonight, may it glorify you and be right in line with what you want. I know all the previous things this night has held have been. So, Lord, I just place myself into your hands. I just again want to say I can do nothing without you. And, Lord, we just realize that with all of our heart. We can do nothing without you. So, Lord, this service is yours. Glorify your name in it. This servant is yours. Glorify your name in him. This people and their hearts, Lord, may they be yours. And may they, Lord, walk in all the light they receive tonight. And we'll give you the praise and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, friends, there's no greater subject on this earth to be discussed greater than God's love. Because if God loves us, that means he's not far off. I mean, when you love somebody, you don't stay away from them. I could give a quick illustration, but there was some lady right here laying her head right on this guy right next to her. She wants to be next to him. She wants to lay his head on his shoulder. She wants to be close, and I'm embarrassing her to death. And so she moves away just a little bit. But that's what love is all about. When you love somebody, you don't want to be far away from them. And if God loves us, that means he's going to draw near to us. He's not going to be unreachable. And God, if he loves us, means he is deeply concerned about us. And friends, God does love us. Amen? And if God really loves us, that means he will bring everything into our lives that he can to get us to heaven, because he wants to spend his life with us. And he has done that through the gift of his Son. He has done that through the gift of his Spirit. He has done that through the gift of his Word. He's done that through the gift of his body, his family, loving each other, caring for one another. Friends, oh, how he loves us. And friends, if God really, really loves us, and he does, he will not let us go easily. And he will not let us go without a fight for our souls. He will be faithful to us. He will discipline us. He will mold us. And just like any good parent would, he will give us every opportunity by his grace to be the kind of people we need to be to reach heaven. Friends, he loves us. And if God really, really, really loves us, and he does, he will care for us. He will pour out his strength upon us. He will help us through every trial, through every temptation, and through every difficulty of life. He will be there for us. Praise his name. He is there for us. He loves us. And friends, he will save us, at least provide a way that we might be saved from our sins. And he will provide a way that we might be sanctified in our hearts from that enmity that is enmity against him. Friends, listen, when you love somebody, you don't want enmity between us and them, right? You don't want anything between you and the Lord. You don't want any roadblocks. And so if he really loves us, he's going to provide a cure for that enmity, because he wants us to love him back and doesn't want anything in between us. And friends, he loves us. He loves us with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he wants us to love him the same way. And friends, if God really, 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 really loves us and has demonstrated that love to us, and he has through the giving of his Son and his Son through the shedding of his blood, he desires more than anything in this whole world to respond to that love and to love him back just the way he loves us. And friends, he gave his whole life to us. Oh, how he loves us and longs for us to love him back. And friends, God's love is out there. But God's love needs to be received. God's love needs to be experienced. His incredible love, he wants us to return that love toward him, for we love him because he first loved us. I mean, think of it this way. I can show my wife all the love in the world, right? I mean, or my children for that matter. But if they don't acknowledge it, if they don't receive it, if they don't in their hearts of hearts experience it, and have that experience there, how much I love them, beyond any gifts, beyond any flowers, beyond the words, beyond all of that, they have to feel my heart for them. If they haven't experienced in their heart, my heart, they haven't truly experienced my love at all. Yes, the love is still there. But friends, it has to be experienced. And friends, it's my contention tonight that anyone who genuinely experiences and receives the love of somebody else, really feels that somebody loves them, they will return it. And I think especially in our Heavenly Father's case. If we truly experience in our heart of hearts, if we really know the love of God, we will return it and we will want a loving relationship with Him and we will love to have it so or we truly haven't experienced His love at all. Friends, we love Him because He first loved us. But until you recognize that He really first loved me and He's poured that love out upon me, He sent His Son out of heaven to this earth for me. If you don't experience in your heart and heart the depth of that kind of love, you will never, ever be able to love Him back like you ought to. You can't. You see, dear hearts, the love of God is so great and so intimate and so infinite and so immeasurable and so wonderful and so full of grace and so full of mercy that I just believe if you've really known it and experienced in your heart and experienced it in your life, it will be shown by your actions, by your reactions, by your talking and everything else that goes on in your life. Because your love, dear friends, is based upon a big thank you, Jesus, for ever loving me. His incredible love toward me. I don't think, friends, if you don't feel that in your soul, I don't think yet you've got it. In fact, I would say you've missed it. This is beyond attending church. This is beyond singing the hymns. This is beyond attending Multnomah Holiness Camp. This is loving God. And so John comes to us in this passage, and he really gives us some instructions on how to identify by our own experience in our own hearts whether we have experienced the love of God and have truly experienced it in our hearts. And so the first thought that comes to us from this passage of Scripture, it's the first logical question, we find it in verse 1, is simply this question. Have you experienced God's incredible love right here, right in your heart, right in the very seat of who you are? And I have to tell you, this verse 1, it's one of my favorite verses in all of the Word of God. I quote it all the time. I think of it almost daily. I glory in it all the time. The great privilege we have of being called the sons of God. How marvelous, how wonderful. We just heard it sung. That Jesus would love me so much to make me His child. And I don't know if you get this when you read this verse or not. But every time I read it or quote it, it comes to me from John with an absolute wonder, an absolute glory, an absolute amazement. Behold, look, see what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon me that we should be called a son or a child of God, that He has poured this out upon me and I am His child. I'll tell you, friends, this is an amazing thing. We were born into this world sinful. We talked about it. Through that sinful nature and with the enticement of the devil, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were children of sin. We were children of the devil under his grip, under his rule, under his leadership, living for him. We were lost. We were undone. We had in us a nature, as we preached, that is absolute enmity against God, not subject to the will of God, cannot be. And so we sinned. We rebelled. We ignored God. We disobeyed God. We rejected God. We denied God. We lived doing our own thing, going our own way, living, loving our own lives, and we were headed to a devil's hell. All of us have been there in some way or some form or another. And then John says, but behold, look at this, John says. Look and behold what God has done in his love. He has reached out to me. He has moved upon me. He has spoken to me. I mean, friends, think about it. What is man that he even thinks about us, the psalmist said, that he's even mindful of us, that he would even take time to speak to us? That in itself is the incredible love of God. And this God has received me. This God has blessed me. This God has poured his spirit upon me. He has changed me and made me part of his family, adopted me. Friends, have you experienced what John is talking about this in your heart by experience, knowing the incredible love of God that he has shed upon your life? I'm not talking about just acknowledging, oh yeah, God loves me. Some frilly little settlement that, you know, oh, God loves me. Richard Taylor used to call that the warm fuzzies. I'm talking about an experience of heart glory, of heart reality, of heart knowledge, a genuine heart experience, a transforming grace that literally floods your soul with the knowledge that says, look, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon me of all people, that he would make me his child. Friends, have you experienced that incredible love of God in your soul, that I've been born again, that I've been bought with a price? And yes, even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me and gave his life to me. And now old things are passed away and all things, behold, are new. And you realize that you've had such an experience with God through his Son and through his Spirit. Like John, you know, I'm now a child of the Creator, a child of the Supreme Being of the universe. That you cry out with Paul, Abba, Father, or with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Friends, have you experienced the incredible love of God? It blesses me still, just, I'm trying to preach, and it's blessing me to think about it. Because I know who I am, I know what I was, I know where I was living, and yet God still reached out to me and loved me and pulled me out of the pit and save my soul. And I say, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon me. And he took this me, rebellious sinner. I deserved only the hatred and wrath of God. I mean, dear friends, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with Christian values. I knew the way to walk my entire life. I never sinned without knowing I was sinning. In other words, I purposely turned away from God and lived my own life. And yet, when I turned to him, he was there. His arms were outstretched still. And I say, praise the Lord forever. Behold, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon me that I should be called a child of God. Friends, have you experienced this incredible love? Or do you come to church dead, nonchalant, bored? Can't wait for Roger to get done preaching already. I've been there. I got to go through this again. Sitting here unknowing of the kind of love that John is describing for us here, that I've experienced in my own heart, the thanks and the wonder that Jesus gave his life for me and would save me. Friends, have you experienced the incredible love of God in your heart? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've forgotten or left your first love. John says here, the world doesn't know us because they don't know him. So many, friends, So many people in this world, so many people in our churches, they too often haven't experienced the incredible love of God in their hearts. They don't know the love of the Savior. They don't understand the incitement of church instead of staying home for the football game. They don't understand the excitement of giving to the Lord's work even when you're low on money. They don't understand your love and your devotions and prayer life with Jesus. It's such a hassle for them to get up or to read their Bibles and to pray and hear from God. They don't understand why you support missionaries. They don't understand why you pray for them. They don't understand because they don't know Him. They haven't experienced His wonderful love in their hearts. They don't know who He is. They don't know what He's done and what He can do for them. Friends, have you experienced the incredible love of God? Can you read this with John? Can you read it with John? Behold, I'm sitting here amazed that He would make me His child. Friends, these truths ought to move you and bless you and encourage you. And they ought to be moving your life today. They should move us all the time because John tells us in these next several verses. And remember, we're asking, how do you know if you really love God? First, by the experience of the incredible love in your heart. Behold, what manner of love hath He bestowed upon me. Even me. You have that testimony. It's a heart acknowledged thankfulness. Do you have that in your heart tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on here. Because of that love experienced, it drives you to leave all sin. Look at it here. And so the second question is, are you experiencing the incentive that comes from experiencing God's incredible love? Friends, one of the real proofs that you love God is by your heart's desires. You can talk all you want. You can sing all you want. You can come to church all you want. You can claim all you want. But because of knowing His love, because you know heaven is for the holy, you want to be holy. That's the incentive of your heart. It's the incentive of your life and your mind. And so as it says in verse 3, you purify yourself even as He was pure. And friends, how pure was Jesus? In Him, the Bible says, was no sin. This is the pursuit of holiness of heart and life. You see this word purifying, it's a verb in the continual action. This is talking about the process of sanctification as a process that begins when you are born again. Friends, when you've experienced the incredible love of God, there is an incentive to live a holy life and have a holy heart, and it never goes away from the time you're born again. You want to be all that God wants you to be. You want to live like He wants you to live. You want to feed yourself with all the things of God. So I'm not asking, was there a time in your life when you avoided sin like the plague and tried to be a Christian and avoided sinful things? I'm asking, are you doing it right now from your heart? You want your actions, you want your attitudes, you want your activities to glorify Him, so much so that even if you offend somebody. You know, I was one Sunday morning, I was just greeting people as they come into church, and a lady came in and I shook her hand and I said, "Well, where's Gary today?" She says, "Well, he's driving a potato truck." And I said, "Wow, he should be here in church." And within just a few seconds, the Lord checked my spirit. I remember I was getting up, ready to preach, and the Lord wouldn't let me go. This lady was crushed by my words. Her husband comes to church all the time. He's there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school. He's a trustee, does all kinds of things. He misses one service, and I'm all over him. And friends, the Holy Spirit wrestled my soul. And friends, what I'm talking about is I love God so much, and I want to glorify Him so much that when He checked my spirit, I got up in the pulpit. I didn't mention a name, but she knew who I was talking about, and I made apologies before I ever preached. Because, dear friends, I want nothing between me and my Savior. And I spoke too quickly. The Lord checked me. And I had to make it right because that's the incentive of my heart. I don't want any sinful actions. I don't want any sinful attitudes. I want my life unmixed from sin, unmixed from the world, and living for Jesus. Friends, do you? It's why we pray. It's why we worship. It's why we commune in fellowship with God in prayer and listen to His Word. It's why we're in church all we can and we pursue holiness of heart and life. Why? Because the hope of heaven, it says here, stirs us to that. This is no longer a conviction of sin, but as Amanda Smith said, a conviction of want. It's of vital importance to you to be holy when you know the love of God, the mercy of God. Dear friends, are you stirred to holiness? Isn't this what Paul was talking about in Romans 12, 1 and 2, when he says, based on the mercy of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Because of the incredible love that God has showered upon my life, all that grace that I didn't deserve, because of that, I want to be just as holy as I can be. And be all that He would make me be. Do you really love God? Because born again people crave holiness. Friends, do you really have a hope to be in a holy heaven with holy people, with holy angels, in a holy city, in a holy land with a holy God for the whole of eternity? If you do, it will drive you to holy living. And so we have the experience in His love and the incentive that comes from that experience. But friends, it's just not an inward incentive not to sin, but it's an outward life, that incentive. And so we come to the third question of the message. Are you indeed free from a sinning lifestyle? You see, the experience, God's incredible love, the incentive that comes from that to be holy, brings with it the indication of both. And what follows always from true love and true grace is that you will leave all known sin. It's a fruit of repentance. So have you truly repented of your sins? Have you believed God to save you from your sins? Have you been made a new creation where old things are passed away and all things are new? Friends, this ought to be true in your life. This is the pattern of this passage of Scripture. Friends, John's very powerful here. If we live in sin, if we're continually doing things and living a life we know we ought not to live, this is a clear sign that you have not yet known the love of God in your life, that you do not have the incentive because it's not being indicated by the way that you live. And friends, I just want to be clear here. No person, no matter who they are, no matter what they claim, no matter what their past experience may have been, no matter the gifts that they might seem to have, no person can continue to live in known sin and keep grace upon their hearts. No person who continues to knowingly sin against God can tell me that they love Him and have experienced His love. Not you, not me, not anyone. No, John makes it clear here. Those who have experienced the incredible love of God, who are born again, do not continue in known sin. In other words, they walk in all the light they have. You see, friends, living in sin is living like the devil, right? I asked one time a Calvinist friend of mine, we were having a discussion, and he says, well, I just believe everybody sins in word, thought, and deed every day. And I says, well, I says, isn't that what the devil does? Well, yeah. That's what the devil does. He's not my Savior. He's not my Lord. He's not my God. He's not my pattern. He's not my example. He's not my Savior. Jesus is, and we purify ourselves even as He is pure. And I know the battle we're in today, dear friends, with all that's being preached on TV and all the popular book writers of the day telling us we can't help but sin. But friends, you better believe God's Word. Believe your Bible. You can read the same things here that I'm reading. There's no way around it. In fact, I was studying this passage one time, and I always like to read the Calvinist view of different things just to see where they're coming from. And here's what the guy said in the book I read. This is a very hard passage to deal with. No, it's not. Not if your theology's correct. God's Word says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And it says, everyone who nameth the name of the Lord departs from iniquity. And friends, as I said, we have a deliverer. We have a Savior. We have Jesus. And through Jesus, there is ample provision for victory over temptation, because the Bible says He will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape. The Bible tells me that there is grace sufficient for all my need. The Bible tells me that we are more than conquerors through Him that loves the Lord. In fact, Adam Clark put it this way. He said, Jesus came into this world to destroy the power, pardon the guilt, cleanse the pollution of sin. He was born, suffered, and died for this purpose, and He can and will accomplish what He came to do. Amen. Friends, Jesus is the provision. Do not cut Him off of His grace. Do not cut Him off of His power. Do not cut Him off of what He came to do. He is the perfect, complete provision. And in Him, it says, there is no sin. Verse 5. Two ways we can look at that. One, Jesus was holy. Right? In Him was no sin. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. He was slain from the foundation of the world, Lamb without spot. He is the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He was holy, holy, holy through and through. But a second way to look at this is revealed in verse 6, as John expresses, to put yourself in Christ. And as we live, as we move, as we have our being in Him, there is no continued sinful lifestyle going on in our lives. Friends, the sin business, has it stopped in your life? Are you free and pursuing holiness? And just like Job of the Old Testament, eschewing evil or running from evil with all your heart, you're not making excuse to miss church. You're not making excuse not to give your tithes and offerings. You're not making excuse to do the things you know you shouldn't be doing. Because for him that knoweth to do good and to do it is sin. And that's not good enough for you, because you have this incentive to be holy even as He is holy. Friends, sin grieves God. So you don't do it because you don't want to grieve Him. Friends, when there is a love for Him, you want to be your best for Him. The only proof, friends, the only proof, as John puts it, that we abide in Him, the only proof that you are saved right now as you sit in this tabernacle tonight, is if you have turned away from the practice of known sin in your life out of a love for God. That's the indication that God is looking for. And John tells us plainly there in verse 7, don't be deceived about the matter. Don't be deceived about anybody telling you you can't be saved from sinning in this life, or because you were once saved you can't lose your relationship, only your fellowship. That's not Bible truth. It's not clear teaching of God's Word. Friends, he says, let no man deceive you. Friends, have you experienced God's incredible love that leads you to holiness? Do you have a burning desire within you, that constant incentive within you to live a holy life, have a holy heart? And both of those are indicated by the way you live your life. So that your spouse, your best friends, could stand here and testify on your behalf, I see it in them. They're doing all they can to live for Jesus. And they're doing it like that all the time, every day. You see, here's the thing. You can claim the first two of these mentally, right? Yes, I've experienced it. I've experienced God's incredible love. Haven't you experienced God's? Yeah, I've experienced God's incredible love. I have. Haven't you? Yeah. I have that desire. Yeah, I have the desire to be holy and be as he is. The question is, does your life bear it out? That's the real question John gets to. It's the question we face today. Is your life bearing out that Jesus has saved you from your sin? If not, you're not saved. If not, God in Christ is still reaching out to you with his incredible love, asking you and saying to you, would you repent? Would you give your life to me? Would you experience my incredible love on inside that turns you around in your thinking and your motivations and everything else and gives you the desire to live like him so much so that you live that way? Friends, maybe there are those here that have lost the first love. Or the love of you had once for God has waxed cold. Friends, this is an incredible love, an overwhelming thing. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Is that your testimony tonight? Is there that uplifting, excited love of God flowing through you that you could stand up, one of you youth could stand up before all the other youth and just say, I love God with all my heart. I can't believe he saved even me. Look what he has done. And they can see it. Every one of these people can see it in your choices, in your lifestyle, in the things you're talking about in private. They know you love God because they see it in your life. Is that true of all of us? You see, friends, this is what God is getting to through John in this passage of Scripture. I have experienced his incredible love. Because of that, I have this hope in heaven. And because of that, I purify myself even as he is impure. And I'm going to do that all my life. And guess what? All you have to do is look at my life and you can see it. And you can see it. And you can see it. That guy loves God. That lady loves God. Friends, can people see that in you? Can people see that in you, in the way you're living? Tonight, we're going to have a closing number. And friends, I want you just to ask the question and answer it. Have I experienced the incredible love of God that keeps me pursuing holiness, heart, and life? And everybody around me knows that. Everybody around me knows that. That's what my life is all about. Do you have that testimony tonight? If not, God wants you to afresh, or for the first time maybe, experience that incredible love to such an extent that it will change your life forever. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
108, Jesus is calling. The altar's open. Come and experience the great, great love of God. Jesus is tenderly calling me home. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
I don't know if this is on, but you can probably hear me okay. This doesn't happen all the time, but for three nights in a row now, I felt like coming to the end of the service, the walls start going up. I feel like God's trying to work, and God's trying to speak to people's hearts. And we're putting our walls up. We don't really want to deal with the issues of our heart and life. And friends, we've got to deal with them. We've got to be honest with God. If we're living in sin, we're not where we should be. So friends, don't let the devil do that to you. Don't let him fool you. Don't let him mess with you. Don't let him keep you from the love of God. You've got to experience it. You've got to know it. You've got to have it. And so I want to just stop here and have a word of prayer. That God would break down the walls and give freedom in this place. Do you know that the altar is one of the friendliest places of mercy you'll ever know? I don't know where they came from. You know, altars have been since the Old Testament all the way through. We've had them in church for years. It's a place to meet God. The Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit. It's a place to depart from sin and self and get victory in Jesus. Don't you want that? Don't you want to walk out of this place free tonight? Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, would you break down the barriers and the walls? Don't let us come up short, Lord, of what we need and what these meetings are all about. It may be a time of refreshing. It may be a time of repentance. Maybe, Lord, because it's so easily to slip away, we've done that. And we're not where we need to be. Maybe we knew a better day. But Lord, let today be that day. I pray that you would bind Satan before his time. Lock him outside the walls of this tabernacle. And give the Holy Spirit free sway in every heart and every life. Lord, I don't care how long we've gone to church or if we're new coming to church. May we be honest with you. And have that freedom to be honest with you tonight. Lord, would you have your way in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Jesus is waiting. Oh, come to him now. Waiting today. Waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet, lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling.
Friends, let's just keep praying. Let's keep searching our hearts. Let's be obedient to Jesus. He loves us. Incredibly, he loves us. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle John, who your Holy Spirit directed to write these things down and make them so amazing to us. I'm still, even at the end of the message, blown away. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's the most amazing, transforming thing in all the world. I pray that those words be the testimony of every soul in this place. And Lord, maybe everybody's saved. I don't know. But Lord, we want your way in every heart and life. So continue the work. Continue to glorify God. Glorify thy name. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to lead me in what I need to share and preach. Speak to hearts. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and glory forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed.